Fallout Equestria Starlight, Chapter 23, For Honor and Glory. No, Spike, they're not who they are meant to be anymore. Their destinies are now changed, and it's all my fault. Honor. When ponies say they fight for honor, what are they really fighting for? I believe that when a pony fights for honor, they're fighting for others. They're fighting for those who can't fight themselves. But what if a pony is fighting for glory instead? Well, that pony is fighting for purely selfish reasons. They fight for their own, not even bothering to acknowledge the existence of the ponies they deem beneath them. They prefer to be exalted for their actions, not humbled. I often wonder what the ponies of the past fought for. Did they fight for honor or for glory? Or some strange combination of both? Did they intend for generations later to revere their actions no matter how bad they were? Or did they not even care? Sometimes I wish I knew. And what about myself? What am I fighting for? Am I purely selfish, seeking only to return myself to a normal state of mind and body? Or am I fighting for the ponies of the wasteland, no matter how poor or hurt they are? I'd like to think it's the latter. The fires in the valley below had ravaged the town completely. Buildings were blackened and charred, the ground burned dark under the hellish fury of the flames. My eyes narrowed as I scanned the valley. I could make out very few bodies amidst the wreckage. Where was every pony? What happened here? Where were the rangers? I growled under my breath as I tried to process what was happening.
Where are the steel rangers, Gray?
I said quietly. The stallion standing next to me looked up, clearing his tears with a single swipe of his armored hoof.
I arrived here yesterday, the white pony replied. The town was attacked last night. The vile rangers used some sort of large robot to completely decimate the folk and smallholders. Three of their number opposed me, but I was triumphant and withdrew from the field. The rangers withdrew shortly after the attack, almost as if they were looking for something but didn't find it.
I see, I said, looking back at Violet. She had a horrified expression on her face. I stomped a hoof, getting her attention.
Violet, this isn't your fault. Do not even think it.
She glanced up, a hint of tears forming in her eyes. But I made the deal with them, she said.
Yes, and they broke it, I replied. What happened, happened, and now we just need to deal with it.
What deal is thine friend speaking of?
Gray interjected. I glared at the white stallion.
A deal with the Steel Rangers, I said. We made a deal with them to leave this place alone before we entered Chickercold.
I could see my words troubled the stallion, but I didn't care. I was too pissed off to care.
Thou made a deal with those vile creatures?
Gray responded, his face a mixture of confusion and disgust.
Why?
Because that's how the wasteland works, Gray, I said angrily. Or haven't you noticed by now? Moral ambiguity is a defining factor of this place. It doesn't care how good or bad you are or how you live your life. It'll kill you either way.
Gray grew quiet, processing my reply. He looked up at me and grinned.
I can see that thou hast much to learn, good squire. It is not the land that defines a pony's morals. It is a pony that defines the land, he said.
He turned away and looked back down at the burning valley. My eye twitched.
What the hell does he mean, squire?
I screamed in the back of my mind. I started to speak but stopped when several flashes of red appeared on my EFS.
Shit, we've got company, I said, pulling out Stargazer. And not the good kind either.
The sharp retort of gunfire answered my warning, striking the rocks nearby. Violet floated out Thunderflash, shooting off a blast of silver fire in the direction the gunfire came from. I snarled as a contingent of no less than 10 steel rangers came into view. Several of them carried battle-sated mounted heavy anti-machine rifles.
Halt!
One of them shouted, taking aim with his rifle and firing. The bullet tore through the air, headed right towards Patch. I growled, throwing up my Elecon shield, deflecting it back into the earth. The ground smoked from where the bullet struck. I lifted Stargazer and dropped into ESATS, queuing up as many shots as I possibly could. Time slowly resumed, my minigun unleashing hell upon several of the anti-machine rangers. Metal splashed on metal as each round slammed home. Three of the rangers dropped to the ground, calling out in pain. Two of them rushed forward, letting loose with their assault rifles.
"Fan out and take out as many as possible!"
I called out. Steeljack and Pat grinned widely as the two moved forward, working as one. Their shots struck true, but did very little in the way of lasting damage to the armored ponies. Nixie leapt into action on my other side, followed by Grey Knight. The white stallion carried some strange-looking sword-like weapon in his teeth, the blade humming with pulsing blue energy. He reached his first target, a shotgun-wielding ranger, and thrust forward with the tip of the weapon. The bladed appendage hit the ranger hard, forcing its way through the armor and right through the other side of the pony. Gray withdrew, dropping the ranger to the ground. They didn't get back up. Nixie slashed the nearest ranger to him, his claws cutting through the armor like a thick butter. Several shots from an assault rifle came slamming home into my flank, the pain ripping through me like wildfire. I spun about, spraying a line of bullets in the direction the gunfire had come from. The steel ranger that had been attacking me dropped as Stargazer rendered his legs unusable. I glanced back at my flank. Pain spiked as the green glow flared inside the wound, and I had just enough time to panic before the bullet popped out of the hole. Violet's magic dropped the spent round and soaked into my hide, cutting off the bleeding and knitting the flesh together. Violet's horn glowed softly and I smiled.
"Thanks,"
I said. My lover nodded, lifting Thunderflash and tossing more silver fire in the direction of two oncoming rangers. A glance at my EFS revealed what I had dreaded. There were far more steel rangers than we could possibly handle. We needed to retreat and find some place to hide. I knew that one of these rangers had already alerted Cotton Candy to our presence, and I wondered when the supposed robot they had would show its face. I wasn't about to hang around and wait. We were caught off guard, and even I knew when to run. I glanced over at the others, shouting to get their attention.
"Fall back! Every pony, fall back!"
Steeljack and Patch pulled away from their last opponent, supporting each other as they limped back towards me. Each one of them showed various bullet burns, and in Steeljack's case, several holes in his power armor. I grabbed onto them with my magic and began to carry them along, the familiar tickle of pain rolling into the base of my horn as I started running. Chaos reigned as we tried to escape from the rangers.
"Over here!"
I heard a voice cry through the carnage. I glanced over to see a head poking out from underneath a set of rocks. It was a white mare, her face twisted in fear and concern. It was Nurse Care. She was frantically motioning for us to move to her. I turned to the right, charging across a field towards the white mare. She was still shouting, but I couldn't hear what she was saying. The others were behind me, panting hard. We were starting to drag, and I could feel it in my bones. My horn screamed in pain, and I did all I could to let down Steeljack and Patch easily before it flickered out, dropping the two Earth ponies to the ground. I stopped and turned back to them. Violet trotted up, helping me to get our two friends up and running again.
"Watch out!"
Nurse Care shouted. I looked up to see a glint of metal soaring through the air. My eyes widened.
"Grenade!"
I screamed. I tried to reach out with my magic, but the pain was too much. My horn flickered and the light around it died just as quickly as it had appeared. The silvery apple struck the ground and exploded, spraying shrapnel everywhere. I hit the ground hard, howling as I felt several pieces pierce my legs. A pair of hoofs wrapped around me and began to drag me forward. I groaned, my vision blurred from the pain. I could feel the blood pouring from my sides where the shrapnel had dug in.
"Shit, you're heavy!"
a voice from above me said. It was Nurse Care. Was she dragging me? I tried to mumble something about how I wasn't fat, but it only came out as babbling.
"Star, just hang on. You're gonna be all right,"
I heard Lilith say. A loud slamming noise struck my ears and my eyes could only see black. A bottle forced itself between my lips and I felt the healing potion slide down my throat. I sighed as my vision began to return. A short jab of a needle hit my flank and I glanced back. A white mare knelt behind me, working diligently on where the shrapnel had dug in. Nurse Care looked up at me apprehensively, but she was smiling.
"Well, Ministry Mare, I'd be lying if I say you weren't a sight for sore eyes,"
she said. I rubbed the side of my head as she finished digging the shrapnel out of my wounds. I felt the cold magic of a healing bandage slapped onto my flank. My eyes widened as I remembered the others.
Violet, the others?
I said. Kea smiled.
They're just fine, if you'll see,
she replied, pointing behind me. I glanced back, seeing Violet and Lilith sitting with Steeljack and Patch. They were helping the stallion out of his power armor and patching up the two Earth ponies' wounds. Nixies and Grey Knight stood off to the side. The sounds of more explosions rang in my ears, even muffled by the walls of this hidey hole. Dust shook from the metal ceiling, but we appeared to be safe for the time being.
Where are we?
I asked. Nurse Care placed a hoof to my lips.
We're safe, but we need to keep moving. I don't know how long it will take the rangers to find this tunnel, but when they do, the others have orders to collapse it. At the end of this tunnel is a stable.
She rattled on, motioning for us to follow her.
Stable?
I said, cocking my head as we moved to follow the white mare.
What stable?
Nurse Care chuckled.
I forgot you've been gone for a while, she said.
A few weeks ago we received a message from that fuck Cotton Candy. He wanted us to clear out or die where we stood. We didn't know why until one of our own found a tunnel. It led down to the entrance of a stable of all things.
So that's why the Steel Rangers wanted this place so bad?
I asked. Care nodded. A large metal door came into view at the far end of the tunnel. Two tribal ponies were guarding it.
So you guys survived the town burning?
You got that right, Sugar. We knew it was only a matter of time before the Rangers came, so we moved in and locked it up tight. Been hiding down here for a week now, she said. But our resources are running thin, and the Rangers are getting closer to the location of the main entrance. Before long they're going to get in, and that damned robot off there will lead the way. The two guards opened the door and we trotted inside. The walls looked just like every other stable I'd ever been in, drab and grey. I was worried about going into another stable so soon after 180, but this place was completely different in feel. The lights were bright and constant, and ponies crossed our path on their errands, nodding to us as they went. Nurse Care led us through the halls until we found ourselves in the atrium. I was surprised at how small this particular stable was. It seemed like we only walked moments to get there. The tribals, at least what was left of them, had gathered in the open area. A few of them smiled and waved.
So, what's that about a robot?
Patch piped up. She winced in pain but continued on.
Gray said that there was a big robot.
It's been a huge fucking problem. Every time we've tried to find a way to escape them, that thing has been there. Too many have been lost already. Care replied as she led us down another hall away from the atrium and towards where the sign said the infirmary was. It's apparently something that's pre-war, but other than that I don't know much more about it. The infirmary was bare, what cabinets there were had been scavenged by the tribals. Care pulled out a few healing potions out of one of the drawers and handed them to Steeljack and Patch. The two drank down heartily, immediately looking much better. I groaned as I plopped to the ground. The others moved into the small room, finding some place to sit as well. Violet leaned up against me, sighing.
I feel terrible about this, Care,
I said after a few moments of silence. I glanced up at the white mare.
Why is that, Sugar?
She asked.
Because we didn't get here in time, I said quietly.
Nurse Care narrowed her eyes at me.
Now, don't you dare tell me it's your fault. No pony knew this place was down here until we found it by accident. You didn't even know it existed until Gray here caught up with you,
she said, motioning at the white stallion. Gray nodded.
It's not your fault. Those fuckers were going to come here anyways. It was just a matter of time.
But, I started to say. Care raised a hoof.
But nothing, Star. You helped this town out much more than you heard it. Without you going and getting those medical supplies for us, we wouldn't have lasted 2 weeks. You bought us the time we needed, a second chance, she said. Now, I want you all to rest for a bit. You're all in bad shape, and you almost bit the dust out there, Star. You're lucky I'm a good doctor.
What about the Rangers?
I asked. Care smiled.
I wouldn't worry about them right now, she said, holding up a hoof. Rest, recuperate. We'll come up with a plan to get out of here then.
Zao wants to leave? Gray interjected. But that is unfair. Thou should not have to leave thine home because of these vile creatures.
I wish I could agree with you, Grey, but we have no choice. Those rangers are coming in, whether we like it or not, and I'd rather not be here when they do, Kerr said. Well, then we'll take care of them, I said. We'll make them wish they hadn't come here. Star, that's crazy and you know it. You saw for yourself, they're organized and deadly. No matter how good you are, you won't stand a chance, Nurse Kerr said angrily. She has a point, Star, Lilith said. We barely scraped by out there. Even old Nixis over there was having trouble with those rangers. The Hellhound nodded in response. Then we get organized too, I said. This place has an armory, right? We can use what we have available to us and get together a counter-strike. And what about the robot? What if it shows up? Kerr said. I may have an idea there, Patch said. If I can get close enough to it, I might be able to reprogram it. I don't know much about robots, but if there's anything like small terminals and computers, I could give it a shot.
I'm in, Steeljack said softly. But I agree with Star, we need to stock up in the armory. The better our firepower, the better our chances.
I'm with Star, to the end, Violet said, her eyes narrowing at the doctor. Besides, I owe you too. I made the deal with those fuckers and I intend to make good on my promise to keep your town safe.
Mindsquire is learning, you see, Nurse Kerr. She knows that these rangers will not stop until thou are all dead. My lance and sword are ready for battle, Grey said.
My eye twitched at this. What was up with this whole Squire thing?
I made a mental note to ask him about it later, but instead looked over at Lilith and Nixies.
What about you two? I said.
Lilith grinned.
I didn't say I was out, she replied. I can beat up some Steel Ranger assholes any day.
You know my answer already, Star,
Nixies said.
Nurse Kerr rolled her eyes. Crazy, you're all crazy, she said, holding up her hoofs. But if you really want to do this, fine. The armory has been sealed since we got here. We are not sure how to get in, so if you can get the door open, feel free to have whatever is inside. I grinned widely. You're in luck, then. I just so happen to specialize in breaking locks, I said. Well, that's definitely locked, I said, looking at the sealed armory doors and groaning.
The massive doors appeared to be made of a very thick steel, and as hard as I tried to force them open with my magic, they weren't budging. I growled under my breath, igniting my horn again and latching onto the metal.
Maybe we should try the terminal, sweetie, Violet said, pointing at the screen attached to the door.
I groaned.
All right, fine, I said, feeling defeated as I let my magic drop.
My love stepped up to the terminal, hooking her pipback up to it. I sat down next to her, rubbing my aching horn and watching her work. Patch and Lilith had opted to come with us, the others staying behind to rest. I hadn't let myself get too much relaxation. I wanted to get back out and take care of the rangers. I owed it to Nurse Care and the rest of the townsfolk of Arlington. Patch and Violet tapped at the keyboard, both of them grimacing.
The security on this thing is locked down pretty tight, Patch said. Whatever is in this place, they sure as hell didn't make it easy.
The mayor looked back at Nurse Care, who was standing back down the hall next to Lilith.
And you said you couldn't find any way to open this in the Overmayor's office?
Nothing. We searched all over the terminals, but absolutely nothing, Care said. It's almost like they wanted this to be sealed even from the stable ponies, wherever they went to.
There weren't any bones or bodies?
I said, cocking my head.
Care shook her head.
Nothing. Place was clear. The information on the Overmayor's terminal was even more vague, the White Mare replied. So many of the files on the terminals were corrupted or deleted.
I see, I said, looking back at Violet. Any luck finding anything?
There's references to something, but every time I try a password, it tells me it's denied, my love said, tapping in another set of keywords.
The terminal flashed red.
Shit, now it's locked out. Looks like we're not getting in anytime soon.
Great,
I groused.
I wonder what's inside that they locked it up like this.
Violet shrugged, disconnecting her pipback. The terminal suddenly lit up green.
Well, now that's odd.
It was just locked out a second ago. It's back on now.
Violet grimaced and reconnected the pipbug. The screen flashed red again.
What's a...
My friend disconnected the pipbug again and the terminal went back to its normal state.
Star, give me your hoof. I want to try your pipbug.
I complied and my own device was connected to the terminal. Surprisingly, the screen stayed green.
Is that good?
I said. Violet grinned.
It's perfect. Apparently this terminal is set to lock out a specific pipbug after too many attempts at a password. But if you hook another one up, you can use it. I bet they did it like that to make it so ponies could still get in if some pony messed up the password, she said.
So there's still a chance?
I said hopefully.
Not much of one, but it's better than no chance,
Patch said.
We still don't know how to crack the encryption, though.
The green mare tapped a key and her eyes lit up.
Wait, we're thinking about this the wrong way here. The encryption is tough, no doubt about that. But instead of trying to break it, let's see if we can't find the right key.
And how do we do that? I asked.
I thought that's what we were trying to do.
Yes, sort of, Patch continued.
Violet, are there any programs on there that are accessible without a password?
I didn't think to check, Violet replied. She tapped a key, bypassing the lock-in prompt on the terminal.
Huh, there is. Just one, though. It says games. Click it. I bet that's the right way in, Patch said.
Violet clicked the icon and what appeared to be a series of fall games appeared on the screen. They were even complete with a bouncy purple pony character that spouted silly catchphrases. I was somewhat surprised that the character wasn't Pinkie Pie. These kind of games seemed to be her thing.
Are you sure about this?
I said, looking at the current game where the player was supposed to match up face-down cards from memory.
Absolutely, Patch said. Why else would there be this sort of program on here?
I nodded. It made sense. There was no practical reason for a door terminal to have Folds games on it. It had to be a part of the door lock.
All right, then. How do we beat it, then?
I said.
Well, if it's anything like the Fold games we used to have on our old computer, this should be a breeze,
Patch said.
Let me sit down here and I'll see if I can take a stab at it.
Violet shuffled over, letting the green earth pony at the keyboard. Patch began to tap and click, playing along with the card matching game.
It looks like I've got 3 errors before the game restarts itself. So, let's see.
The screen lit up and showed her where all the cards were initially. She clicked 2 cards, coming up with a match. The bouncy purple pony on the screen cried out in glee as Patch continued on, tagging card after card. The green mare moved with inequine speed, progressing through the game easily. The screen lit up with the confetti and fireworks when she clicked the last card pair. The terminal went dark as soon as the game finished.
Well, did it work then?
I said, cocking my head. Before I could say anything else, a loud clicking sound interrupted me. The door began to hiss and whir, sliding forward and opening. Patch cried out triumphantly as she stepped out of the chair.
See? Told you we just didn't have the right key,
she said, grinning.
Now let's see what the heck was so important they stuffed it away in here.
Violet disconnected my pipbug and we stepped up to the door.
Care, you might want to stay out here just in case,
I said. The white man nodded as Lilith stepped up behind us. She smiled coyly.
Took you long enough, the black mare said. Thought I was gonna have to beat up the door myself.
I chuckled, stepping around the cold metal and into the dark armory. The massive room spread out in all directions. Shelves of items lined the walls, filled to the brim with weapons and boxes of ammunition. At the far end I could see several glass tubes. Inside of them were suits of combat barding.
All right, be on the lookout for more than just whole weapons. If there's any parts, I can use them to upgrade our other stuff. Well, everything except Stargazer, even I'm not dumb enough to try and crack that thing open.
Patch rambled as she stepped into the room ahead of me. I nodded. A crackle of static greeted our ears as a loud blaring alarm stopped us dead in our tracks.
Warning, warning, intruders, intruders, a computer voice echoed from inside the armory. Deploying security countermeasures, please wait.
Ceiling panels slid away, revealing 2 banks of 3 laser turrets each. They circled around, spraying fire across the room at us. I threw up my shield instinctively, causing the first wave to deflect off to the ground.
I floated out Stargazer and quickly shot a burst of bullets back at one of the turrets. It sparked and exploded. 5 left.
Every pony, get down!
I shouted. The turret spun about, tracking where I was moving, and tossed myself to the right and dropped into ESATS. Time slowed to a crawl and I started picking targets, queuing up as many shots as I could. When I was satisfied, I released the spell and Stargazer flew into action, spewing hellish fury at the turrets. Each shot struck with a spark and eventually the entire array of turrets exploded violently. I stood, carefully, preparing myself for any more hostile activity. The alarm was still going off, but there didn't seem to be any more security. I sighed, glad that the only thing we had to deal with was turrets. A few seconds later, the alarm shut off. I glanced over to see Pat at a terminal nearby.
"Managed to find the kill switch," she said with a smile. "That seemed to be the only security." "Seems sort of lackluster, doesn't it?"
I asked. Pat shrugged.
"Well, you never got far enough in to step on the mines or activate the pitfall," she said. "Now then, let's see what we've got here."
We moved deeper into the armory, picking through the shelves. Numerous rounds of ammunition, some pulse and frag grenades, and multiple firearms ended up in our hall. Patch started rifling through the pile we had set up, pulling aside any scraps that could be used to modify our weapons. Nurse Care had been moving through the armory herself, picking out anything that the tribals could use, such as spare barding or any utility jumpsuits. I trotted past the racks of combat armor, floating them out and adding them to the pile. I stopped when I came across a glass tube in the back of the room. A smile came to my face.
"Hey, Patch," I said. "Check this out. You might want to call Steeljack down here. He'll want to see this."
The green mare's ears perked up and she trotted over to see what I had found. She grinned widely and called over to Lilith. The black mare nodded and left the armory to go find Steeljack. Moments later, the stallion himself along with the others reappeared. Steeljack glanced inside the tube and grinned ecstatically. Inside the tube was the most perfect suit of power armor one could have ever seen. Instead of the normally bulky nature of most power armor suits, this one was sleek. It was a stark gunmetal gray color striped with blue highlights. It came with a helmet that sported two visor-like eyes. Attached to the battle saddle on the suit's back was a scooped assault rifle. Steeljack stepped forward, tracing a hoof on the armor.
"Wow, it's incredible," the stallion said. "It's like nothing I've ever seen before."
"I don't think any of us would fit into that, Steeljack," I said, smiling knowingly at the stallion. "So, try it on."
The stallion looked down for a moment and then nodded. He tapped some of the buttons on his armor, opening it up so that he could slip into the suit. The suit clasped itself around his body like a warm glove, the legs wrapping around his pipbuck as if it were always there. The helmet lowered onto his head and the eyes lit up a fierce blue. Steeljack looked around for a few moments and then spoke, his voice crackling.
"This is... wow. This suit is so light, but I can still feel how strong it is. And this rifle, it's just too much," the stallion said.
He took a few steps and I could just tell he was grinning inside the suit. Patch took a set of combat armor that she had slated for the scrap pile and motioned for us to follow her. At the far end of the armory was an indoor firing range. Patch set the armor down on one of the target mannequins on the other side of the range. She hit a button on the wall, sending the target soaring back several yards.
"Come on, Steely, try it out," she said.
Steeljack nodded, turning towards the range and stepping up to the lane that Patch had set up the target on. The rifle turned about, aiming the weapon and firing. The bullet sang as it soared through the air, striking home and completely obliterating the mannequin's head and taking the combat armor with it. Patch cried out with cheer.
"All right, that's awesome. What are you gonna call that armor?"
"What?"
Steeljack's voice echoed out of the armor.
I don't know."
"Oh, come on, you've gotta have a good name for it," Patch said.
"Well, I guess, if I had to call it anything, I think Tempest would be a good name, right?"
the stallion replied.
"I think that's an awesome name," I said, smiling. "Now that we've gotten that out of the way, how's about we get the stuff distributed? Patch, you do what you can to modify the weapons we have and fix us up some better barding."
Patch saluted, setting to her task. I glanced over at Nurse Care.
Care, if you'll come with me? We have much to discuss. I think I've got a plan to counterattack those rangers.
The white man nodded and trotted out of the armory as I followed behind. Violet and Grey Knight followed as well, leaving the others to sort through the armory's stock. We arrived shortly to the infirmary, which had become our temporary home given the state we had came into the stable in.
So, what are you thinking of, Star? Violet said. Well, we know a few things. We know that Cotton Candy probably knows by now whose rangers nearly killed earlier. I'm almost certain that we can get to talk to him first, I said. Talk? But I thought you wanted to wipe them out, Nurse Care interjected. I grinned. Yes, but the problem is, if we go out there guns blazing, that robot of there is sure to show up immediately. No, we need to speak to Candy first, find out what the fuck he wants down here so bad, I said. I'm not saying I want to solve this non-violently, but if we can get him to talk, then we can set up an ambush. Oh, so while you've got him talking, we get ponies into position to ambush the rangers in case things go south? Violet said.
That does not seem honorable, Grey said softly.
And what does, Grey? Does getting these ponies slaughtered sound honorable?
I snarled before breathing deeply and sighing.
Look, I'm sorry, but you have to understand. We don't stand a chance in straight-up combat. I mean, sure, I've got some magic tricks, but even I can't take on a whole contingent of Steel Rangers by myself. Besides, this robot of theirs worries me. If it's capable of that kind of destruction, I'd rather not have to deal with it.
The stallion sighed and nodded.
Thou art forgiven, squire, he said. But if it were up to me, I would see those foul rangers driven before me in honorable combat.
Well, you may just get that wish, knight, I said, grinning. Cause you're gonna be right there on the front lines with us.
I motioned for the others to come closer with a flick of my forehoofs.
So, here's a plan. Shit!
I shouted, dodging another spray of gunfire from a particularly nasty steel ranger wielding a minigun. Suffice to say, my plan hadn't gone well at all. Cotton Candy had indeed responded to our request for contact, but he wasn't interested in negotiations. We had even tried offering him the transponder the Minotaur gave us, but the stallion had known that it was a ruse after taking one hard look at the device. Thankfully, we hadn't managed to reveal the entrance to the stable to the rangers, but that didn't stop Candy from ordering his contingent to attack. Chaos rippled across the battlefield like heat waves from a wildfire, the metallic pings of bullets striking power armor sounding among the cries of battle. The remnants of the town around us continued to burn as more fires were added due to the fight itself.
My plans officially suck, I thought as I spun about, igniting my horn and casting my gravity spell at the steel ranger.
The ranger's armor glowed for a brief moment, but nothing happened.
What does the armor have protection against magical enchantments or something?
I thought. Snarling under my breath, I lifted Stargazer to fight this pony minigun to minigun. Shot after shot slammed into the ranger's side, putting the armor-clad pony to the ground. Its own fire sprayed white as well, striking another nearby ranger. I took a moment to take stock of the battlefield, using the moment's peace to find my friends. Patch and Steeljack were working together as always, the two Earth ponies using Patch's ingenuity and Steeljack's new armor to disable the rangers. Steeljack would use Tempest's rifle to strip away a ranger's weapons, and Patch would flip a pulse grenade directly onto the ranger's armor with her freaky Earth Pony skills. Even as another ranger crumpled to the ground in a shower of sparks, I could tell they were beginning to get overtaken. Lilith soared high above, leveraging her flight abilities to dive and slash above the ranger's arc of fire. Occasionally, the shriek howl of the bitch would send a missile into a group of rangers, scattering them in an explosion of dirt and rubble. Nixie slumbered near to me, the hellhound clearly frightening enough of a combatant to keep several rangers at bay. Grey Knight and Violet stood side by side, my love providing cover fire for the white stallion with thunder flash while he charged in, thrusting wildly with his weapon. His energy lance was amazingly effective, shredding weapons almost instantly and drawing huge showers of sparks when it dug into the sterner armor of the rangers. Beyond our own group, several dozen tribal ponies who had wanted to fight stood vigilantly against the steel-clad rangers. They were wearing combat armor that had been scraped together from the stable's armory. Despite how well it seemed that we were doing, it wasn't going to be good enough.
We weren't trying to kill them, just keep them away. But things were beginning to escalate and the rangers just seemed to be everywhere. Driving them off was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. A bullet pinged off of my barding and I spun, growling as I floated out Stargazer. The pink stallion at the far end of the battlefield grinned widely. It was cotton candy. His visor was retracted and his expression was... smug. He lifted his hoof in a jaunty wave, smiling as he spoke into his armor's radio.
Cotton candy, damn it!
I shouted, charging at the stallion.
Stop this already! I told you we just wanted to talk!
I don't think so, Ministry Mayor. After what you did in Chica Cult, I'm not willing to negotiate anything with you.
I startled, flaring my wings in shock.
Yes, I know all about your exploits. As much as I loathe that disgusting abomination, the Minotaur is still a useful source of information. Cotton Candy said. No matter, though. What you did in Chica Cult, you won't be doing here. This stable will be ours.
There's not even anything good down there,
I cried out. Cotton Candy sneered.
There's always something good, he said. Water talismans, weapons, even stable jumpsuits. Not to mention more spark batteries and power cells to keep Equestria Prime running.
Equestria Prime?
I said, cocking my head. Cotton Candy grinned and pointed with a hoof. A shadow fell over the battlefield as a loud clanking noise came sounding over the next ridge. My eyes widened. A massive, pony-shaped robot stomped into view, its legs armored with cold steel. It was larger than any other robot I'd ever seen before. Its body was a sleek gunmetal gray with a single red tracking visor where its eyes would be. It had no mouth and I could see the cabling connecting the neck and legs to the main body. Emblazoned on the robot's flank, much like where the cutie mark would be, was a symbol of two alicorns, one white and one blue, circling each other. The mark of the flag of Equestria. The robot scanned the battlefield for a brief second and took a step into the fray.
Enemy threat assessment. Initiating strike sequence. Zebra scum must be annihilated, the robot proclaimed in a voice that thundered across the battlefield.
Its tracking visor lit a fierce red, a blast of laser fire emanating from it. It struck one of the tribal ponies with a flash, turning the poor pony into nothing but sizzling goop on the ground.
You see, Ministry Mayor, I'm going to get what I want, and I want that stable, Cotton Candy said. And Equestria Prime here is going to ensure my victory.
The robot strode forward, its hoofs clanking loudly. I growled loudly, turning back to Cotton Candy. The stallion grinned, not even remotely afraid of me.
Yes, you'll see how futile your efforts are. We found that hunk of metal in a nearby abandoned pre-war bunker, and now it serves us.
This isn't over, Candy,
I said, pulling away from the armor-clad stallion and flapping my wings and taking to the sky.
Fall back! Every pony, fall back!
The robot continued to move forward, spraying blasts of laser fire everywhere it looked. My friends began to pull back towards the stable entrance, doing the best they could to keep the rangers and the robot at bay. The tribal ponies with us now numbered less than half, many having fallen to the rangers or obliterated by the giant metal pony.
Threat assessment minimal. Acquiring targets. The robot rumbled in its monotone voice.
Its eyes flashed, firing another round of lasers and hitting two more unlucky tribals. The thing lifted its head to the sky where I was flying around and monitoring the retreat. A blast of laser fire whipped past me and I growled, floating out Stargazer and taking several shots at the massive robot. The majority of them went wide, but a few struck home. Unfortunately, they didn't seem to do any good. The thing ignored my fire and took another massive step forward, spreading chaos and destruction wherever it went. Cotton Candy just stood and watched as the metal monstrosity fired another laser beam, melting three more tribals into goop.
Star!
Violet shouted, waving at me. A laser blast struck the ground next to her, causing her to jump back. I snarled, soaring down to my friends and tossing up my alicorn shield. The next blast of laser fire struck the shield with intense force, pushing me back. Thankfully, the shield held. It broke under the next blast, but managed to deflect most of it. I reached into the back of my mind, pulling out Shining Armor's shield spell to the forefront. Already feeling my horn begin to sear with pain, I released the spell, the purple wall appearing in front of the retreating ponies. I felt every punch of the laser fire as it struck the shield, but I was able to keep it going. I started shifting backwards towards the burning section of the town that held the entrance to the stable. I hissed in pain at the burning in my horn every step back a mile of effort. I tried to keep moving, but it was difficult. I felt Violet's magic tagging on me and I spared a moment to glance back. My love was doing her best to keep me moving along, her horn glowing a soft green. She grimaced, but kept up her spell. I looked back at the advancing horde of rangers, the Equestria Prime robot now at the forefront. I knew somehow it wasn't going to be enough. Eventually I couldn't keep up the shield spell and the robot would get through our defenses. I only hoped that we would make it to the stable's entrance before that happened.
Target engaged. Detecting high resonance shielding. Compensating. I heard the robot say above the chaos.
The thing's eyes lit up a solid blue and fired another blast of fire at my shield. I struggled beneath the barrage to keep the spell going, but I was feeling drained. I groaned as the shield dissipated, holding a hoof to my horn. It burned fiercely and my vision went black for a second. Shaking the blurriness out of my sight, I growled loudly.
"Keep going!"
I shouted hoarsely. We were roughly 10 feet from one of the concealed entrances to the stable. Laser fire hit the ground around us, igniting the earth in a blaze of hell and fury. I could see the ground beginning to lift behind us, the tunnel opening up to allow us entry. Nurse Care stood at the entrance, watching with fear in her eyes. She was shouting at the retreating force as the tribals filed down into the tunnel.
"Hurry up!" Nurse Care called.
Steeljack and Patch dove into the tunnel after the tribals, followed closely by the rest of my friends. Violet helped me hobble into the tunnel's entrance and I managed a brief smile at the white mare. Nurse Care smiled back. Then she was gone. She didn't even get a chance to scream. A laser blast struck the tunnel's entrance, completely obliterating the white mare. A pile of glowing goop hit the ground in her place. My eyes widened as the tunnel began to shake around us.
"Care!"
I cried, scrambling to where the glowing remains of the mare were. Tears filled my eyes and I glared at the advancing rangers and lifted Stargazer. My horn burned with the fury of 1,000 suns, but I didn't care. All I cared about was seeing the rangers pay for what they had done.
"You! I'll fucking kill all of you!"
"Star, get your head together!"
Violet shouted, grabbing onto me with her own magic.
"There's nothing you can do for her now."
"I can tear these assholes limb from limb!"
I snarled, trying to pull myself free from my love's telekinesis. Violet grunted and pulled harder.
"Star, if we don't pull back down into the tunnel now, we'll lead the rangers right into the stable. More will die,"
she argued, her eyes flaring with rage as she strained her horn more, yanking me back into the tunnel. I took one last look at the glowing goop on the ground and sighed angrily before turning to follow Violet. My horn seared in pain and I panted with the effort it took to just limp along with Violet. We made it eventually to the shaft that would take us down into the stable where Steeljack and Patch waited. Violet shouted something, but I didn't exactly hear what it was. The tunnel behind us began to rumble as the explosives that we had laced inside of it began to go off. Stone and rock tumbled down, sealing the passage and hopefully taking a few of those asshole rangers with it. I glanced behind me and gave up a silent prayer before trudging into the shaft after the others.
"Luna, if you're even real, please protect her in the afterlife. She deserves that much."
My prayer went unanswered as I turned back to the long walk down the tunnel. The infirmary seemed lifeless without Nurse Care, I had decided. With the mare's demise, the morale of the rest of the tribal ponies had waned considerably. My horn still hurt like hell and we were currently licking our wounds, so to speak. Violet and the others were sitting in the far corner, looking over the maps of the area. They were talking about a counterattack. I sighed, standing.
"Violet, I'm gonna go lay down for a little bit. Let me know when you've got something,"
I said, my voice dull. Violet looked up and nodded, trying to put on a smile. I trotted out of the infirmary. I couldn't stay there. All I could see was Care disappearing in a flash of light. I closed my eyes and shook the thought away and began to walk. Finding an abandoned room in the living quarters of the stable, I stepped inside and plopped down on the dirty but still functional mattress. I sighed and closed my eyes, attempting to meditate.
I had tried several times already without Envy, but every time felt like grasping at mental straws. I let out a deep breath, inhaling and exhaling to try and slow my thoughts down. Stray thoughts of twilight and spark filled my mind, preventing me from getting close to true meditation. I groaned, opening my eyes. Why was this so bucking hard? Why couldn't I wrap my head around this? Sadly, I knew why. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw them. I couldn't keep my mind off of the two. Twilight infuriated me as much as she intrigued me. What could have driven a mare like her to the depths that she had plumbed to? Was I so different? It seemed like all I had seen lately was death and more death. I had caused much of it myself. I felt horrible and couldn't even begin to wrap my mind around this whole meditation thing because of it. I sat up, placing a hoof to my temple. My horn was still burning slightly. I was certain the burning ache wasn't helping me meditate. A knock at the door caught my attention. I looked up, seeing Patch standing there. She smiled.
"Hey, I found something I think you need to see,"
she said, motioning for me to follow her. I stood inside, but complied. We walked out of the room and down the hall, but not towards the armory. The twists and turns of the stable's featureless walls met our steps along the way. I cocked my head as we rounded another corner.
"Where are we going?"
I asked.
"Over Mare's office," Patch replied. "I was doing some hunting around the terminals at Nurse Care."
I winced at the Mare's name. Patch faltered for a moment but continued.
"The terminal that they had said there was nothing on. Well, they were wrong. There's something on there, and I think it explains why the Rangers weren't in here so bad."
We soon arrived at the office, pushing open the door. The terminal inside was lit up, showing a full map of the stable. Before I could say anything, Patch hit a few buttons on it, bringing up a menu.
"The reason they didn't find anything was because this terminal was just like the one on the armory door. It was locked by a series of foal games."
"Foals games?"
I said. Patch nodded.
"Pursuing the locks on the terminal, this stable was meant to house children. That's why everything is so much smaller. There must have been some older ponies too, but very few," she said. "Chaperones, probably."
"But wouldn't a foal know how to play these games?"
I asked, cocking my head in confusion.
"They would know how to play, but not necessarily how to win," Patch said.
My eyes widened as I realized she was right.
"And for any..."
I held up a hoof. Patch stopped talking, looking at me. I felt my face twist as I tried to make words out of the horror that had just popped up in my thoughts.
"Patch, what happened to the children when they grew up?"
Patch paled, her eyes going wide. Taking a step away from the terminal, she looked down at it as if it was poisonous.
I don't know, Star."
"What? Doesn't the terminal say anything about what happened to them?"
I said, pointing at the monitor. Pat shook her head solemnly.
"The locks only go so far. The rest of them are corrupted," she said. "I have absolutely no idea what happened to the inhabitants of the stable."
We stood silent for a long moment, staring at each other. Pat closed her eyes with a shudder, and I stepped forward to lay a comforting hoof on her shoulder. As much as I hated to just ignore this, the past had to take second place to the future.
"Patch, I hate to say it, but we just don't have the time. Let's just worry about this later. Tell me, what did you find here?"
I said. Patch tapped a few more keys, bringing up several diagrams. They were designed for a robot. A robot we were all quite familiar with.
"Equestria Prime?"
I asked. Patch nodded.
"Designs, schematics, the whole kit and caboodle. It's all here,"
the green mare said.
"I think that Candy must only have the robot's basic functions up and running, if he had access to this."
"He could get all of its weaponry and functionality working,"
I finished for her. The other mare nodded.
"So, this is bad."
"Very,"
Patch said.
"Based on the logs, Equestria Prime was supposed to be a shining light in the darkness of war. The first of its kind. It was a joint effort between the Ministry of Technology and the Ministry of Peace."
"But I thought Fluttershy's ministry wanted to end the war peacefully. Why help design a tool of war?"
I asked.
"My only guess there is that Fluttershy thought if the robot was fighting, it could save ponies who would otherwise be dying on the battlefield,"
Patch said.
All of the schematics and data had to have been put into this table before it closed up. It had to have been a backup so that if the original bunker the robot was housed in was compromised, the data would be worthless. And, of course, with the Texas Steel Rangers have amassed, they mostly figured it out on their own, I said, drawing the same conclusion Patch had. So Cotton Candy found out that there was more to this thing and wanted more control over it? That sounds about right, Patch said. Looking over the designs of it, this thing meant serious business. Applejack really put a lot of thought into its design and what it would do for the war. If the Steel Rangers get a hold of this information, I shudder to think what they could do with it. Does it give you anything on how we reprogram the damn thing? I said. Patch looked back at the terminal, grimacing. Well, she said, it's gonna take me some time to progress it all, but if I can get near that thing, I should be able to access its neural network interface and attempt to reprogram it. I really won't know until I'm in front of it. I'd say that sounds like a bit of a dangerous plan, I said. Getting close to it is going to be no easy feat.
If I may have an idea on how to do that.
A voice said from the door, startling both of us. I looked up, seeing Grey Knight standing there. His eyes were cold and he had a smile on his face.
Grey? I said. What idea?
It's very simple, Mindsquire. As thou have already pointed out, getting near the robot in face-to-face combat is quite difficult. But, Grey said, pausing for a moment, what if I were to give thine friends a chance to sneak young Patch here onto the metal pony?
What do you have in mind? I said.
Grey flashed a smile once more.
I intend to challenge this Cotton Candy to a duel, he said matter-of-factly.
I blinked.
You want to do what?
I exclaimed. Grey nodded.
We will send a message to the Vile Rangers, formally challenging Candy to honorable combat. The stakes will be the stable, with the promise that the robot will be shut down during combat, he said. Of course, this is but a ruse. While I am dueling, the young Miss Patch will sneak onto the robot and reprogram it.
Grey, I appreciate you putting yourself out there like this, but isn't this kind of against your whole honor code thing? I said.
It appears I myself still have lots to learn from thou, faithful squire. For these ponies I would lay down mine life to see them safe once more. I owe it to Miss Care, Grey replied coolly. Dost thou not think I can handle it?
No, I just...
I started to say, my mind flashing back to Nurse Care's final moments alive.
I just don't want to see some pony I consider a friend dead again.
Grey nodded before closing the door. As he trotted away, I swore I heard him say, me too. I sighed, looking over at Patch. The green mare's lip trembled.
Wow,
she said. I waved a hoof in front of her face, getting her attention. She blinked and stared at me, quickly regaining her composure.
Sorry, just, that was really brave of him. Either really brave or really stupid,
I snorted.
I'd better get back to the others and tell them what's going on. When do you think you can be ready? Shouldn't take me more than a few hours,
Patch said, returning her attention back to the terminal. I nodded and smiled.
Good, because I have the feeling we're going to need every bit of help we can get,
I said, trotting out of the office.
I must admit, I am quite intrigued by your offer. Cotton Candy's smug voice rang out over the stable's radio. It had taken a few attempts to get a hold of the Steel Ranger, but we finally managed to get him to respond. Grey had done much of the talking, issuing his challenge to the Ranger.
And how do I know that I can trust your word on this challenge? You have mine word as an honorable stallion and as a knight of the Holy Celestial Order, Grey replied. If you lose, you will leave this place. If I lose, the ponies of this town will vacate the stable peacefully and allow you access. And but to stop me from just taking it from you, Candy challenged.
I nearly groaned. The stallion was insufferable.
I would expect better from an honorable opponent such as thyself. The Steel Rangers pride themselves on their code of honor, do they not?
Grey said. The radio went silent for a few moments and my breath caught in my throat. I halfway expected the stallion to decline.
Accept it, Candy said finally, lifting the awkward silence. Equestria Prime will be shut down and kept in our camp. We shall each bring 3 ponies to bear witness to this challenge, which shall take place tomorrow at noon. Acceptable, Grey Knight replied, hitting the button and cutting off the radio transmission. There, it's done. I still think you're mighty crazy for doing this, Steeljack said. But if it gives us the edge we need to beat the Steel Rangers, I'll do what I can to help.
Have you decided who you want to come with you? I asked.
Grey nodded. Mine faithful squire, thou shalt join me as a witness, the stallion replied, motioning to me. I rolled my eyes at the mention of me as his squire once more. I would also appreciate it if Steeljack and Nixies would join as well. The Hellhound and the Earth Pony nodded in response. Excellent. Now, if you shall excuse me, I must prepare for the trials ahead. Grey trotted out of the communication room, leaving us alone once more. I sighed.
All right, that leaves Patch, Violet, and Lilith to get to the camp and reprogram that robot, I said. Based on what we know from Lilith's surveillance, the Ranger's camp is located here.
I pointed at the crudely drawn map on the table. A red X was marked on it. Lilith nodded.
Violet, I want you to hang outside of the camp and stay low. Your backup support in case anything goes wrong, the Pegasus said. I'll fly Patch in and drop her off onto the robot. I should be able to fly silently enough to get her in and out. Patch, how's progress on the program? I asked.
I think I've got a fair idea on what to do, the mayor said. I won't know for sure till I'm in Equestria Prime's computer core, but I should be able to do it.
Good enough for me, I said. Just remember, if you can't reprogram it, use the explosives and blow that thing to kingdom come. Patch nodded.
Are you sure this plan will work?
Nixie said, the Hellhound shifting uncomfortably in his seat.
I'm not doubting you, Star. I just worry that Cotton Candy will expect the deception.
We're going to have to try, my friend, I said, placing a hoof on the Hellhound's shoulder.
He smiled toothily.
For Nurse Care and for the ponies of this town, we owe them much and I intend to rectify my mistakes. Now then, I'm going to rest.
I trotted out of the room, heading towards the atrium and the rooms that we had claimed as our own. A few tribal villagers passed by me, averting their eyes as I walked on. The villagers had become noticeably scarce since Nurse Care's death. None of them had dared approach us, and I understood why. They felt we were responsible. I certainly felt responsible. I sighed, pushing open the door to our room and plopping onto the bed. I closed my eyes, letting myself fall away into dreamland.